For the past 5 or 6 years, I've been a professional model. And when I first started, it seemed pretty glamorous and a pretty exciting way of life. But after I worked at it for a few years, I began to find that I didn't like it very much, my business. And I have discovered that what had happened was that I had paid so much attention to the outside appearance, the right makeup and the right clothes, that I had neglected the inside appearance. And I would like to share with you some of the experiences that I've had in the past year and a half. When I was a... You can't hear me?
No.
I speak so softly. Can you hear me better? Tell me when you can. I can yell. You seem to be making noise. When I was about 9 or 10 years old, anyway, when I was younger, I thought that I was fairly religious. I used to go to church every Sunday, and I kept the laws of my church, I thought, and kept the commandments to the best of my ability. And I thought also that I knew about Jesus Christ because I had read about him. And consequently, I felt that I was in pretty good shape as far as God went. Gradually, as I grew older and into my teenage years, even though I was still going to church regularly, when I looked around myself, I found that I was very lonely. And I found also that I was very unhappy as a teenager. I think primarily because there was an emptiness in my life, something I was looking for even at age 14 or 15. The problem was that I didn't know what it was, therefore I couldn't find the answer to what I was looking for. This became more acute to me as I grew older and got out of high school. As a matter of fact, I began putting names to this more or less void that had become part of my life. I thought possibly if I'd had money, that this might be the answer to what I'd been looking for. Possibly material things, success in my work, or even marriage. I felt that these things surely would have to be the answer to the emptiness that had overcome me. As I touched on each of these things, I tried to hold on tightly because I felt that I had to have all of them. But not once did they begin to help me and the problem that was beginning to control my existence. About 5 years ago, this situation of frustration, and I think nowadays that women especially, they seem to be talking or writing a lot about it, an emptiness and a searching that seems to be part of the life nowadays, became so great to me that I was put under medical care, which I was under for 2 years because of a nervous condition that I had had. And 2 years following this, I was under medication for it. But then a year ago, last December or January, I met someone in the course of a job I was doing, a modeling assignment that I was working with this day, who was telling me about a relationship with God that he had found that was on a personal level. And that this God that he spoke about was a God of love, not a God of fear that I had known all my life. And over the next 2 months, for one reason or another, we would meet during different lines of business for one reason or another, and he would continue telling me about this. And the more I heard, the more I wanted to hear, because gradually it occurred to me that maybe here might be the answer. Even though I thought that I knew Jesus Christ, maybe there was something that I didn't know or didn't have. Then the following March, I was introduced to someone else, a Christian woman, and I went to see her. And that evening I went up there, I received Jesus Christ. And when I went there, I had no intention of so doing. And I would like to tell you the experiences that I had that evening. It's a little hard to put into words, but that night, I asked the forgiveness of God for my sins. I knew I was a sinner because all men have sinned. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to come into my life. And it was though God himself was there in the room, holding on to my hand and telling me that never again would I be alone. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus Christ says that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." That night I opened the door, and Jesus Christ came in. He came in not with just a feeling, but he came in with assurance that I know that he will do what he promised. Now I'm alone with my four children, and I'm not saying that since I've been a Christian, I don't have any problems anymore, because naturally I do. But in the last year, or a little better than a year now, I've had a follow-up, and the counsel that I have had from mature Christians on a close friendship level, plus getting into the Bible, studying it, and getting to know Jesus Christ as a person, I have learned that God is my Father, and that it pleases him when I come to him with my problems, and that this is what he wants his children to do. This I have done. When I have something that is really a problem to me, I go to him and I ask him to help me, and I know that then I don't have that problem anymore, because I know he cares for me and loves me and wants me to be with him. I have experienced, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, this life of peace that can result from putting myself completely at rest in the hands of God. Jesus Christ has come into my home now, and he has become the head of my house, and he has become the father to my children. God is no longer some creature out in space, out of reach and intangible to me. He has come into my heart, and he has come into my life. He is real, and he lives within me. And I thank him daily for this wonderful gift of himself that he has given to me. Thank you.
My light and my salvation, of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?
And in fact, we have, Don talked about he felt like he was raising his grandchildren. Our boys now feel like they're kind of raising us. We have a son 21, we have one 18, and then we have one that's running around here somewhere that's 12. And our theory around the house is now that we only strike our children in self-defense. They're bigger than I am. I remember when Yvonne and I got married, we went to the Justice of the Peace, and the family was kind of around, you know, and the Justice of the Peace said, okay, now repeat these vows after me. With all my worldly goods, I thee vow. You know what my dad said? Good grief, there goes Bob's tricycle. For those of you that haven't met my wife, this is the mother of our three children, and my bride for 22 years, and this is Yvonne. Thank you. Now, it's a great deal of privilege that I ask Cynthia to come up and share with us once again a number in song. Cynthia?
Wounded for our transgressions. morning, Bob. One reason I came with the Navigators was to learn how to tell jokes like Lawrence Annie, and one of these days I'm going to make it. A reason I'm looking forward to going to Denver is so I'll be able to come down to conferences like this and eat some of that good food. Wasn't that a dandy dinner? To testify is to give an open declaration, giving evidence in support of fact. And Jesus Christ is the fact, and the evidence is His Word. And the only evidence I have is His Word. And in Luke 24, starting with verse 45, Jesus Himself used His Word as evidence. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. This, He said, is what is written, that the Messiah is to suffer death and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that in His name, repentance bringing the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all nations. So tonight, it's not what I am or what I have experienced, but what I have seen and heard. What I have seen and heard of the evidence of the Word. And in Acts 4:20, we're told we cannot possibly keep from telling what we have seen and heard. And something I saw as a high school senior, the evidence of the Word demonstrated through a life, was Gene Tabor, who's now the Navigator representative in the Philippines, one of the men there. And he faced me with the question, do you know your Lord's business? And I knew I couldn't answer that question. And week after week, he had the endurance to stick it out with me and to show me the evidence of the Word in and through his life. And it was there I started to realize what Galatians 1:15 is showing, where it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to Paul so that he could go through Paul. And this evidence of the Word, the Navigators have demonstrated to me again and again. And I'm certain for this reason they have me today. There were many years of doubt, hesitation after leaving Gene, hesitation to act by faith. And after this time of flying in all parts of the world, I was stationed with a family in Washington, D.C., and there saw Jim White, a Navigator representative. And here again, I saw Jesus Christ in and through a man. And I'm not saying that it's in the Navigators only. I'm saying that God demonstrated this to me by the Navigators. And when I saw this and realized again that here was a man of His, I decided for sure that the evidence of the Word was my evidence and what I must act on. In my childhood, too many homes and too many places were encountered for me to remember. I remember in the service I was asked for my top secret clearance to state the places that I had lived, and I could not recall all of them. So childhood was confusing. But that really isn't evidence of change, comparing that to now. The evidence of change is that His Word is life for me. In Mark 10:29 and 30, He tells us that we must leave everything, everything that's good. Our family, our children, our parents, our land, our possessions, and cleave to Him alone. And the result is that He will multiply 100 times as much all that we have left. Our wife will be more our wife. Our children more our children. All that we have will be multiplied. And this mathematical multiplication of His was more than I could refuse when I crossed it in Washington, D.C. And so I decided to let go of everything, and if he chose that I should stay in the service as a pilot, I would. But he demonstrated something different to me when I finally decided to listen. Of course, Pat and myself are greatly anticipating our time laboring with you in Denver. And we also go with the Potters to Texas and to all parts of the world by prayer. And I would like to say for them and for myself, Acts 20:24. I know they would appreciate your prayer of faith that this would be demonstrated in and through their lives in Texas. For myself, I set no store by life. I only want to finish the race and complete the task which the Lord Jesus assigned to me of bearing my testimony to the gospel of God's grace. Life-giving repentance and remission of sins to all who will believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is my testimony, and the testimony of those that I have witnessed, as the testimony of the Word has operated in and through their lives. To be spent with you in His cause at any cost, that's living. So let's pray in the days ahead that we'll release everything to be available to Him, you and me, and work together.
I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How thankful I am tonight to be able to claim Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm thankful that approximately 8 years ago, the Lord heard my cry, and that He is now a reality in my life. And I am so thankful for the talents that He has given me and for the honors that have been given me in the past. But I am thankful most of all that tonight I can glorify His name in song. And today has been a tremendous blessing to me. It has made me realize more fully the responsibility we have as Christians to reach the men and women about us and tell them of the hope and the new life that is in us through Christ. I would like to play a medley of songs that tell of this wonderful sacrifice and most perfect sacrifice that our Lord made for us, a medley on the cross.